Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be discussing this hot topic, cosmic child abuse. Andrew, what in the world are you talking about? Well, there are theologians out there, most of whom are liberal theologians, who deny the supernatural, who deny the authority of God's word. So there are liberal theologians out there who teach that there's absolutely no way that a loving God, God the Father, would ever pour out his wrath on his beloved son. They say that's cosmic child abuse. And so they deny God's wrath being poured out on his son. Those are liberal theologians. But unfortunately, this type of thinking has even made its way into certain places in mainstream Orthodox Christianity. And when I say Orthodox, I'm not talking about the Orthodox religion. I'm talking about mainstream evangelical Christianity that believes in the authority of God's word, believes in the inspiration of God's word, believes in the infallibility, the inerrancy of God's word in the original, believes in the supernatural. Even in mainstream evangelical Orthodox Christianity, this idea of cosmic child abuse has started to break its way in. So what do we do with this? Again, people look at God the Father as only loving. Therefore, they say there's absolutely no way that he would be upset with his son, especially his son who did nothing wrong. Therefore, God the Father would never pour out his anger or wrath on his beloved son, A, because he's his beloved son, and B, because he didn't do anything wrong. And again, they say that we who teach that God's wrath was poured out on his son, they say that's cosmic child abuse. And so, we need to see what the scriptures say on this. And we know that in the Old Testament, throughout, God was pointing to the coming Messiah. God was pointing to his son, God the Son, who would come to this earth, who would live a perfect life for us in our place, and then who would go to the cross for our sins. And we know that Jesus Christ, he is the fulfillment, the substance of all those Old Testament promises. Jesus, the perfect God-man, truly God, truly man, one person, Jesus Christ, two natures, divine and human, perfectly united, not mixed or commingled, not divided, perfectly united in the one person of Christ. And so people who say that what happened at the cross, that God would not have ever poured out his wrath on his son, those people, well, they also, many of them, especially the liberal theologians, also deny the deity of Christ. They deny, you know, his resurrection. They deny his virgin birth. So they're way outside of orthodoxy. But again, some popular theologians have actually been saying the same thing, that there's no way that our sins would have been imputed to Christ and God's wrath would have been poured out on him. Well, let's read Isaiah 53. Again, Old Testament passage, written about 700 years before the birth of Christ, written by the prophet Isaiah in the power of the Holy Spirit. And look what Isaiah had to say. Looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 2. For he, talking about the coming Messiah, grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Again, it's just amazing when you see this being written 700 years before the birth of Christ, giving such an incredible detail about the life of Christ. You know, he didn't come like this conquering king sitting on the throne and wearing a big crown. Isaiah prophesied, again, in the power of the Spirit, which shows you this is inspired by God, that the Messiah, well, he really wouldn't look that impressive, that people would notice his majesty, and he wouldn't be clothed with the worldly trappings that would attract people to him. In fact, verse 3, he would be despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their face. He would be despised, and he would not be esteemed. Is that what happened to Christ? Yeah. Again, this is before the cross. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. By his scourging, we are healed. This is all substitutionary talk right here, right? Why do you have to go through all this? Verse 6, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We wanted nothing to do with God. And therefore, the Lord, the Father, has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, the Son. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Like sheep that is silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. Again, think about this, written 700 years before Christ. The incarnation of Christ. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. In other words, they deserve, we deserve the stroke, the punishment. His grave was assigned with wicked men. Remember Jesus hung on the cross next to him on both sides, two criminals? Yet he was with a rich man in his death. He was buried in the tomb of a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He had done no violence, talking about Jesus, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. You see the sinlessness of Christ. Now watch this. Verse 10, but the Lord, the Father, was pleased to crush him, his beloved Son. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Wait a second. Does that mean God was committing cosmic child abuse? No. Christ rendered himself as a guilt offering for us, the guilty ones. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servants, will justify many, save, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Isaiah 53, very clear, that the Messiah would do this for us. That he would do it for his people, his sheep, the elect. And that Isaiah is also very clear that God the Father crushed his son. How did he crush him? He poured out his wrath on him. Well, why did he do that if he's the sinless one? Well, he is the sinless one. But he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for us, so that we, the sinners, can become the righteousness of God through Christ. Our sins were imputed to Christ. His righteousness has been imputed to us. Amazing. Our sins were imputed to Christ. Listen now. And God, who is holy, righteous, and just, must punish sin. Because God hates sin. And Christ, he who knew no sin, became sin for us. And God's just wrath that we should, Christian, experience, and should have experienced throughout all of eternity, God's just wrath was poured out on his son in our place. Because God has to punish sin. God's wrath has to be appeased, satisfied towards sin. You think of non-believers, those who reject Christ, think about it. Through all eternity, God's wrath will be poured out on them. And then think about God in his love, that his son would become our substitute. And that God would crush his son in our place as our substitute. Cosmic child abuse? Or a clear picture of God's holy hatred of sin? And also a clear picture of God's amazing love for sinners like you and me. Matthew chapter 3. The baptism of Jesus. I'm waiting to see what God the Father said about his son. And by the way, in the account of Jesus' baptism, you see the Trinity very clearly, right? Verses 16 and 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Was God the Father a cosmic child abuser? Well, first of all, we do understand that Jesus was not this helpless babe just led to the slaughter. You do understand that 2,000 years ago, God the Son, the glorious, eternal one, left his heavenly throne and came to this earth. Sin came into the world through a man. It had to be a man, a perfect man, to pay for our sins. Well, there's no human who's perfect because we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. So God the Son left the glory that he shared with throughout all eternity with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son left the glory. Left the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit and came to this earth. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning Jesus has no sin nature. And as fully divine and fully human, Jesus, one person, two natures, divine and human, perfectly united, not commingled, not divided, Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the law for us in our place. Jesus Christ allowed himself to be hung on the cross. Now, let me clarify that. Those who talk about cosmic child abuse, number one, they look at Jesus as this, well, like this kid. They look at God the Father as this heavenly ogre, this abuser. They look at Jesus as this helpless babe, this helpless victim. And they fail to realize, well, go to John chapter 10. Let's hear the words of Jesus himself, verses 17 and 18. Well, we'll start verse 11. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, the elect. He goes on to say, verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Now watch this. Jesus says, no one has taken my life from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. It's resurrection. Is that victim talk? Hopeless, helpless talk where, I'm a victim of cosmic child abuse? No. This is not victim talk. This is victorious talk. This is talk from the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. This is talk from the one who wasn't dragged against his will to the cross, who wasn't nailed to that cross because, oh, he was powerless and hopeless and helpless. This wasn't the one who was the victim of cosmic child abuse on the cross. This is the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to save the souls of his people. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down on my own initiative, and I take it up my own authority. Please understand, Jesus was not dragged kicking and screaming against his own will to the cross. Remember Isaiah 53? Like a lamb he was led to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. You do realize the Lord, the King of Kings, could have called down a legion of angels at any second. Boom, boom. Or how about this one? The Lord could have just incinerated everybody. Trust me. It's not like he was overwhelmed by being outnumbered by all those people who were opposing him, right? He's the creator of the universe. The sustainer, the redeemer, the consummator. Philippians chapter 2. Look what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says about Jesus. Verse 6. Although he existed in the form of God, i.e., Paul's declaring the deity of Christ, right? Just in the form of God, he's God the Son, sharing the glory with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the perfect relationship, the holy, sovereign, eternal, triune God. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, jealously held on to. In other words, he willingly left the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He left the glory and he emptied himself, not of his divine attributes, but of some of his divine prerogatives, privileges. For instance, here on earth, he willingly submitted to the will of the Father in the power of the Spirit. Think about him. In the glory of heaven, the king, right? Here on earth, he said the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. There in heaven, in the perfect, holy, intimate relationship, the three members of the Trinity, no opposition, no sin, no attacks, no lies. Think about his life here on earth, every step of the way. Opposition, lies, attacks. So he emptied himself of some of his divine prerogatives, privileges. For instance, one of them, he took on the form of a bondservant, a bondslave. And he was found in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the will of the Father and the power of the Spirit. How? By becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Not a victim here. Nobody dragged him to the cross kicking and screaming. He wasn't hanging on that cross and saying, "This is unfair cosmic child abuse." What? He willingly went to the cross. Because as the good shepherd, he came to lay down his life. His own initiative, his own authority. Not that sinful humans had the authority over him. He came to lay down his life for his sheep. And it was there on the cross that our sovereign Lord, Jesus the Christ, he who knew no sin became sin for us. God has to punish sin. God punishes us. We go straight to hell, where God's just wrath is poured out on us throughout all eternity. Instead, our sins were placed on Jesus, the perfect one. And God's wrath needed to be appeased, needed to be satisfied. Was God mad at his son? Was God abusing his son? No. God is mad at sin. God hates sin. And God must punish sin. And guess what? He who knew no sin became sin for us. Guess what? God's wrath was poured out on him in our place. That's the love of God. That's the justice of God. God's love for us, that he didn't punish us, the guilty ones. God's justice satisfied. He didn't ignore sin. He punished sin. He satisfied his just wrath and anger towards sin. He punished his son in our place. Jesus died, but what happened 3 days later? He rose in victory, overcoming sin and death for us. By the way, he rose as this battered, bruised victim of cosmic child abuse? Are you kidding me? No. Verse 9, for this reason, God the Father exalted him, Jesus Christ, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. After rising from the dead, after paying for the sins of his people in full in terms of that day of judgment, 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven, returning back to the glory that he had with the Father and the Holy Spirit throughout all eternity. And now in heaven, Jesus is interceding for those whom he has saved. And Jesus is coming again. And trust me, nobody's going to think at that time that he was some victim of cosmic child abuse. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And for those of us who by God's grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone, have been saved, Christ's second coming will be a time of rejoicing. But for those who reject Christ, who reject what Christ did and what he endured on that cross, well, for those people, Christ's second coming, oh, not a time of rejoicing. It's going to be a time of running, hiding. Can't run and hide from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. and his wrath will be seen very clearly. Cosmic child abuse? To even say those three words off of my lips, so distasteful, so unbiblical. And it so diminishes the greatness and glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think of where you are right now. Have you truly repented of your sins? And if you truly place your faith and trust in Christ alone, trusting that He is the Lord, trusting that He is the Savior, have you cried out to Him and begged Him, Lord Jesus Christ, please be merciful to me, the sinner? Jesus, You the Savior, please be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus is not the victim. He is the glorious victor. Please make sure that you're sure that when He returns, you're rejoicing and not trying to run. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.